We're up to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Matzah prat lematzui, Mace prat laharug, Mushkav prat liyoshev, Kedarko prat lisharosho munach bein yirechosav." This is going back to the Mishnah we ended off with yesterday. The Mishnah was getting into all these kind of nitty gritty details about how do you know if you, let's say you find one, two, three dead bodies, how do you know it's really called a cemetery? So the Gemara now goes through each of those phrases in the Mishnah. It says if you find a dead body, that's to the exclusion of matzui. If you already knew that there was a dead body there, finding another one is not going to establish it as a cemetery. Similarly, the Mishnah said you found a person who died, implying that he died naturally, as opposed to a person who was killed. If you find the body of a person that was murdered, so that doesn't necessarily constitute a cemetery. Then mushkav meant that he was lying normally, the way that you normally bury a mace, as opposed to if a dead body was sitting upright. And also, the body has to have been buried in a normal fashion, as opposed to with its head between its legs. So the Gemara says, Tani ula bar chanina, mace shechaser ein lo tfusa velo shchunas kvaros. If a dead body is missing a limb, or missing an organ, or missing something critical from, you know, that would have given it life, so then that also does not have the din of tfusa. We spoke about this yesterday. Tfusa means that normally for a regular mace, if you want to disinter the body, you have to take some of the dirt with it. So that halacha does not apply if the body is missing a critical organ. And also the halacha of a cemetery doesn't apply, meaning if I find a body that's missing the heart, missing whatever, missing something critical, so then I don't have to assume that there's a whole cemetery over here. And the Gemara says, V'chol hani, my time lo, amrina dilma oviko chavimu. And why is it that all those halachas we mentioned before, why is it that if I find the dead body sitting upright, or if I find it with the head between the legs, why do we assume that that's not a cemetery? So the Gemara says, because the assumption is that that's probably a non-Jewish body, because that's not a normal way for Jews to be buried. Okay, then we said, Matzah Shnayim, Rosho Shel Zeh Bitzad Margalosav Shel Zeh, V'Rosho Shel Zeh Bitzad Margalosav Shel Zeh, Ein Lahen Tfusa V'Lo Shchunas Kvaros. Basically, if you find bodies that are lying in opposite directions, that's probably also not a Jewish cemetery. Usually, all bodies are buried in the same direction, and therefore, there would be no law of removing the dirt. There's no law that we treat that as a cemetery. Matzah shlosha ha'echad yadua u'shnayim tchila u'shnayim tchila u'shnayim yaduim ein lahem tfusa ve'ein lahem shchunas kvaros. Basically, the Gemara then goes on to say, let's say you found a total of three dead bodies, but one of them you already knew about beforehand, and then you find two new ones. Or let's say you knew about two in advance, and now you find another two new ones. So the Gemara also says that does not have the status of a cemetery, and also again, there's no halacha of tfusa of removing the dirt. Then the Gemara says, "Ma'ase b'Reb Yeshivav shebadak umatzah shnayim yiduin vechatchila uvikesh la'asos an shchunas kvaros." Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, "Kol shiagata l'rik yagata lo amru shchunas kvaros el legimel yiduin ol shlosha tchila." So basically, Reb Yeshivav one time he found two bodies that were known beforehand, and then he found a third body that he only discovered right then, and he wanted to declare the area to be a cemetery. And Reb Akiva said that all your work is for naught, all your work is meaningless, because the halacha is you can only declare something to be a cemetery is either you had three bodies that were previously known or three bodies that you just discovered right now. Okay. Then we said, Not lan vies tfusasan, hechi dami tfusa. What does it mean exactly when we say that you have to remove the surrounding dirt around the body? Amar Rav Yehuda amar kra unsasani mi mitzrayim toli mi. Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov, before he dies, says to Yosef, I want you to carry me up from Mitzrayim and bury me in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara expounds the pasuk to mean, toli mi, take part of me with you. In other words, take the dirt surrounding the area where I was buried. The Chamash Yer Tfusa, Pirish Rabbi Elazar, Notel Ofer Tichuach, the Chofer Bivasula Gimel Etzbo. So how much dirt do you have to take exactly? So the Gemara says you dig down a little bit into the loose soil surrounding the corpse, and you dig into the virgin uncultivated soil 3 fingers breadth, and that's how much dirt you have to take. So asks the Gemara Meisvei, the Chamash Yer Tfusa, Pirish Rabbi Elazar, Barab Tzadok, Notel Asake Samin Viasak Sasso. So now the Gemara says that gives a different definition of what's called the Sheer Tfusa, the amount of dirt that you have to take. It says you have to take all the wood chips and all the pebbles and the stones and things surrounding the body. And then you throw away the stuff that you know is not part of the body, like the stones, the rocks, all that. The stuff that's a suffix, whether it's part of the body, you have to set aside. And the remaining stuff that you know is part of the body, that stuff is going to factor in, is going to combine to the majority of the skeletal structure of the body, to the quarter calf of bones, that's metame, to the ladle full of dust that we spoke a lot about in previous weeks. But the bottom line is that this brisa seems to indicate that there's a different shear for how to assess how much dirt you're supposed to take. This brisa makes it sound like it's however much, you know, the wood chips and the pebbles, whereas before the Gemara said you have to dig down 3 fingers, so which shear is it? So the Gemara says, Hu da amar ki haitana, desanya, v'chamash yer tfusa, amar rabbi yochanan mishum benazeh, no to lafer tichuach v'chofer over b'vesula shalosh etzbos. Basically, the answer is that it's a machlokah. So there's some tanaim will assume that you have to dig down three fingers and that's how much dirt you take. Another tanaim say no, that you just take whatever the pebbles, the wood chips, all that stuff that's around the body. That's what you take. Fine. Then we said,
yeah. Why we take dirt to begin with.
So why in general? What's the conceptual reason? I'm not exactly sure, but it sounds like it's based on the drush we quoted in the Gemara a few lines ago. Right? It says that when Yaakov says to Yosef to take up his body to bury him in Eretz Kanaan. What's the logic behind the halacha? I think the idea is that when you're disinterring a body, so the idea is that you can't just remove the body from the place that it was. You have to take some of the place with it. It's almost like maybe it's a kavod to the place where the body used to be buried. You're taking some of that place with you. Again, I'm not exactly sure what the machshava behind it is, but that's definitely the din. Okay. Then we said bodei kemenu amar Rava badakufina badak viashkach lahai mefani legabe hanach trei velahani trei legabe haichat. So this, again, is going back to what we spoke about yesterday. Yesterday we said that basically until you find three bodies in a certain area, within a certain area, you don't have to assume it's a cemetery. So let's say you find one body, you clear it out, assuming that it's not a cemetery. You find a second body, you do the same thing, and then you find a third body, so now you're stuck. So now the question is, what do you do? Because you just moved two bodies, but now you think that you probably have a cemetery because you found a third body. So the Gemara says, basically, you can't do anything. You're stuck at this point. So the bodies that you already moved, you have to leave them there. The third body that you discover, you have to leave where it is. You can't start moving bodies around because now it's a cemetery. Then the Gemara says, Ika da amre, amar and then in the second version, Rava says, no, it's not true, that once Chazal gave you permission to move the body, because again, you didn't realize it was a cemetery when you've moved the first two bodies, obviously, so they gave you permission to move the first two bodies, when you discover the third one, you're allowed to move that also. Either you can move the first two back to where they were, or you can move the third one to where the other two are, you're allowed to move it according to the second version. So asks Gemara, what do you mean? Velisha avinu shchunas kvaros. Why don't we treat this as a cemetery? What right do you have to move the bodies now? So the Gemara says, Amarei Shlakish, ila mitzao v'tiharu eretz. It's a very, very interesting idea. This is idea that appears in the beginning of Maseches Ksubis as well, which is the idea that Chazal were looking for a pretext to purify Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean exactly? So we know that in Eretz Yisrael in particular, many of the people there were very makbid about eating chulin, even regular non-Kodesh food, in a state of Tahara. And therefore, if there were issues of Suffolk Tumah floating around the land, there were questions about, is this a cemetery? Is it not? If someone were to walk there, they could potentially be Tummy. So any time that Chazal found an opening to potentially say, we're not going to declare Tumah here, even though in theory this really should be treated as a cemetery, they took that loophole and said, we're not going to declare this place to be tameh. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Badak me esher mamma velo matzamai. What if the person investigated 20 amos from where he found the previous corpse and he didn't find anything else? What's the halacha? So Amarav Menashe Bar Yirmiyah Amarav Shchunas Kvaros. That's still called the cemetery. My taima Amarish Lakish Ila Mitzo V'Tiaru Ezer Yisrael. Get the same idea we just quoted a second ago. Chazal were looking for a pretext to purify Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, even if you don't find anything else, we're still going to declare this place a cemetery. So this way, we don't have sfeikos, so people don't know where they can and cannot walk. Okay, then the Mishnah says, "Kol sfeik negayim betchila tahar ad shelo nizkak l'tumah, misha nizkak l'tumah sfeiko tami." These next two Mishnayos really have nothing at all to do with Maseches Nazir, but the only reason why they're quoted here is because they follow a similar format to the previous Mishnah. So here the Mishnah says, whenever you have a suffik in the realm of tsaras, so if the suffik arises before we can declare the person definitively tameh, so then the suffik is going to be tahar. Once the person is declared tameh, if there's a subsequent suffik that arises, we're going to declare that to be tameh. So the Gemara asks, how do you know that? Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Amar Kra, L'taharo o L'tameo, Ho lu pasach bo hakasu b'taharet chila. So comes the Gemara and quotes the pasach at the end of Parshas Tazria that says, these are the laws of tzaras, l'taharo o l'tameo, to purify or to defile. So the Gemara says that the Torah uses the word l'taharo first, which means that since we open with the word tahara, so that would indicate that if there's a suffix regarding tzaras, we're going to declare the person tahar. So the obvious question is, if that's the case, so then even once the person has been declared definitively tameh, if there's a subsequent suffix, we should still declare it tahar based on the formulation and the order of the pasuk. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela ki itmar derav Yehuda amar rav aha itmar. In Baharis, Kadma Lesayer Lovan Tame, Vim Sayer Lovan Kodam Liva Harris Tor, Suffolk Tame, Vereb Yoshua Amar Keha, Mai Keha, Amar of Yehuda, Keha Vitor, Vidilma Keha Vitame, Amar of Yehuda Marav, Amar Kral, Letaharo, Letamo, Holu Pasach, Wakasa, Betaharat Hila. The Gemara says, really, the statement of Rav Yehuda was in a completely different context. It was commenting on a Mishnah and Maseches Negayim. The Mishnah and Negayim is talking about the following case. Let's say a person has what's called a Baharis. A Baharis is like a snow white spot, like this spot of tzaras on your skin. And then the Seir Lovan is the white hair. So Seir Lovan is not metame, it's not Saraz, and a Baharis is metame. So the question basically is, which one of those came on your body first, the Baharis or the Seir Lovan? Lavan. So the Mishnah says, if the Beheres comes before the Seir Lavan, then you're a Metzora. If it's the opposite, then you're not. What if it's a Suffolk? What if you have no idea which one came first? You just look down at your arm one day, and you see that they're both there, so you don't know which one came first. So if it's a Suffolk, the Tanakhama says that you're Tamei, but Rabbi Yehoshua says Keha. Now, the word Keha literally means that the image or the hue or the color of the Tzaraas has started to dim. So the Gemara thinks, oh, so obviously that means that it's Tahar. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe Keha means it's Tamei. So the Gemara says, no, because the Pasuk opens with the word Letaharo, it says Letaharo first. That's how you know that when the image is starting to dim, that's a sign that it's actually Tahar. So that was the context of Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Okay, says the Mishnah, B'shiva drachim bodkin es hazav achelo niskat leziva. Again, a very similar format, totally different area of halacha, but a similar format to the previous Mishnah. So there, the Mishnah says there are seven ways in which we investigate a zav. So again, a zav is a man who has a gonorrheal-like discharge. So this discharge is not the same thing as shichva zera. Shichva zera just is basically a seminal emission. Ziva is assumed to be some kind of a disease that leads to a gonorrheal discharge. So the Mishnah says that before we've determined that a person is definitively a zav, now we know that if a man has one or two discharges, he's only a zav katan. He's only considered to be a zav gadol once he has three discharges, either on the same day or one on three consecutive days. So until we determine definitively that he's a zav gadol, we can try to mitigate or downplay these discharges that he's seeing now. We could say, well, maybe the reason why he's having a discharge is not because he's a zav, but maybe because he ate too much. He drank too much, he was jumping too much, he had inappropriate thoughts, he did X, Y, and Z. There are seven potential mitigating factors where we can turn around and say, maybe this isn't really Ziva, maybe it's something else. But once the person is definitively declared to be a Zav, he's already had three emissions, and then the next day he has another one, so now we don't start playing this card and say, oh, maybe it's because something else. Once you've declared him to be a Zav definitively, now we have a basis to assume anything that comes out of his body at that point, even if it's Shechva Zera, even if it's against his will, even if it's a Suffolk, we're going to treat everything as being Tamei at that point. Fine. Then the She says, "Hamake es chaveru va'amaduhu lemisa va'hakiel mimashahaya liacher mikan hichbud v'meis chayav." Rabbi Nechem Yomer Potter Shuraglam. Again, another area of halacha, not related, but similar in format. So let's say Reuven, beats up Shimon really, really intensely to the point that Shimon is on the brink of death, and then the doctors say that Shimon's going to die from this beating. And then what happens is that Shimon recovers, but then he subsequently dies later. So the question is Reuven chayav misa for killing Shimon? So it's machlokas. According to the Tanakhama, he is, because you could trace back Shimon's death to Reuven's blow. Whereas according to Rabbi Nechemya, he's putter because there's a basis to say that he recovered and then only subsequently did he die. So asks the Gemara Menahani Mila. This is going back to the case of the Zav. How do we know that by the Zav, so once he's already been established as a Zav, he's had his three emissions, anything he sees subsequently is assumed to be Tamei? Amar Rabbi Nasan, Amar Krava Hazav es Zovo, L'Re'iya Shlishis Iskash L'Mekeva. The Pasuk at the end of Parshas Metzora says, the Hazav es Zovo. So the word Zav and Zovo imply two emissions. And then by the third emission, we compare him to a woman who's a Zava. Right? Again, a Zava is a woman who bleeds not during her normal menstrual cycle. So there are no mitigating factors when it comes to a Zava. If she only bled one or two times, she's a Zava Kitana. She bleeds three times, she's a Zava Gedola. She has to observe Shiva Nikiyam. She has to bring Karbanos. But there are no mitigating factors. In other words, we don't say that, well, maybe the woman's bleeding not during her normal cycle because she ate too much. We don't say that when it comes to a Zava. So by the time you have that third emission, he's now compared to a woman in the sense that we don't look for mitigating factors. So asks the Gemara of the Hasanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Beshlishis Bodkinoso, Berevias in Bodkinoso. But according to Rabbi Elazar, that's only by the fourth emission. By the fourth emission, we start to ignore the mitigating factors, but by the first three, we still accept them. So the Gemara says, Ela be'esim kum miflege, Rabbi Eliezer darish esim, Berabanan lo darshe esim. The machokas is, do we expound the word es? Vehazav es zovo. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, that extra word S is actually a reference to a third emission. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, for the first three emissions that a Zav has, we're going to try to mitigate it by saying maybe it's a result of something tangential, overeating, overdrinking, inappropriate thoughts, etc. But according to the Rabbanan, he can only do that for the first two emissions. By the third emission already, he's fully established as a Zav. Okay, then we said, Onso Usfeko, Amarava, Lo Tema, Safik Chaza, Safik Lo Chaza, Elevade Chaza, Safik Machma, Shichva Zera, Safik Machma, Sriya, Kevin Shiniska, Kutuma, Sfeko, Tami. The case is, this person definitely had an emission. The only thing is that we're not sure whether this is a shichva zera emission, it's a regular emission that's not related to ziva, or whether this is a direct result of ziva. So therefore, once the person has been established definitively as a zav, any emission that he has subsequently is automatically assumed to be ziva. That's basically what the Mishnah said.